The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasaire Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
No matter how dark the night, one touch of the Master's gentle hand, and I am ready to go. I'll go anywhere with Him, through tempest or sinking sand, as long as I feel the tender touch, the touch of His gentle hand. One touch of His gentle hand means more than the world to me. One touch of His gentle hand will make every shadow flee. I'll not
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Baptist Bible Hour. I'm Timothy Guess, and I am here today by phone with the director and speaker of the Baptist Bible Hour, Lasaire Bradley, Jr. Brother Bradley, welcome to your own program.
Thank you, Timothy. Good to talk with you today.
We're in a little different format today, as our listeners are used to hearing your Bible teaching ministry. But today we wanted to spend some time in a Q&A format and talk about the current crisis that our nation and the world, frankly, is facing with coronavirus or COVID-19. Brother Bradley, your initial thoughts on just the scope of this crisis that's facing the world?
Well, it's obviously something that has demanded everybody's attention. There have been some who have tried to ignore the warnings and kind of scoffed at the whole situation. In fact, I was rather appalled at an interview that was done on a local TV station, and the man was saying, we're not worried about the virus. We're still having our meetings. We're still shaking hands. And if we get sick, God will heal us. Well, that brings to mind the words of Jesus when Satan tempted him to cast himself down from the temple. And Jesus quoted the Old Testament scripture that says, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So we have to be respectful and obey the restrictions that are put on us at the present time.
Well, you lead into that. The next question I wanted to mention is that one of the most difficult things, and let's just say we know that there is physical suffering from those who are sick, from those who've already lost their lives, and loved ones who are mourning the loss of loved ones, the economic consequences that are being very much felt across the world. But for us as believers, one of the most difficult things is that we've not been able to meet, to gather as a church, to worship the Lord, which is in so many ways our meat and drink and part of the great blessed routine of our daily lives. So do you ever remember a time when churches were not able to meet like we're facing right now?
No, I don't. Of course, I read about it in history, knowing that there was a time when Charles Spurgeon first came to pastor a church in London, England, that they were not able to meet for a period of time, and that also happened in our country in Washington, D.C., in I think around 1918. But in my lifetime, I haven't known of it.
Well, it does remind us, I think, that it's a bittersweet thing. It's sweet in the fact that we miss the meetings, and it's sweet that we can use technology to help us stay connected as churches. And I know that you're doing a live stream sermon for your church, and many, many other pastors are doing the same. But it's bitter in the fact that something that we love so much and that the Lord values, we are unable to engage in at this time. But one question that some have had and have wondered with the government restrictions on meetings, is this government interference? Is this an infringement on our religious liberties?
I don't really look at it like that. It could indeed have that potential, and we have a biblical example in the book of Acts of what our response would be if there was an effort to just shut us down so we couldn't circulate the gospel because the apostles were threatened and told to preach no more in Jesus' name, and they posed the question, is it right for us to obey God or man? And certainly in those circumstances, we would have to continue meeting and doing what God would have us to do, even with the threat of imprisonment. But I think there's a legitimate reason for this. There's a concern for health and well-being of other human beings, and so we have to be considerate of that and just pray that this thing will not last that long, and certainly are thankful for the opportunities we have today, like doing the live streaming, and we have a website for our church, which I'm now doing a blog a couple of times a week to try to stay in touch with our people, and it also emphasizes to us, you know, I've known of some people who kind of gotten a little slothful in their church attendance in recent years, and I can worship God at home, and I can listen to the gospel on the radio, but we're thankful for those opportunities, but it doesn't take the place of meeting in the assembly of saints. There's something that is a special blessing with the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we sing together and pray together, and the word is preached, and there is a response to it. So we definitely look forward to and pray for that time, and we'll soon be able to be back together and meeting as we know the scriptures admonish us to do.
Well said, well said. Another thing that we might mention as well on the question of whether this is government interference or not is that the government is not just singling out churches. So the fact that they are asking businesses and many others to hinder their activities or reduce their activities is lets us know that this does not seem to be government interference. But just as you've mentioned also, that it's God's idea that we have church, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. And that's we're admonished not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There's something that is a special blessing. You know, the church is a called out body. It's an assembly of saints. And so we're still a church, even though we're not able to meet regularly at this time. But to have the full blessing of what the church means and the blessing of the presence of the Spirit of God in our midst, the church obviously needs to be assembled.
Well, I like how that you brought up the point that hopefully the Lord will use this to help us to be reminded of how precious a blessing it is to gather regularly on the Lord's Day to worship with the church. There's kind of become a trend in recent years of actually making live stream church, and that is not God's design, is it?
No, it's definitely not a substitute. It's good for people who are sick and not able to come out to service, or maybe permanently handicapped and can't. But for people who are physically able to be a member of a church, means you have a responsibility to be there for its services and be supported in every way possible.
I've heard a couple of pastors say during all this time, and I heartily agree, that just the anticipation of when we can meet again, I bet the singing is going to sound good.
Absolutely.
We're going to be really excited to be able to worship the Lord together again. Well, let's talk about just some of the human responses to this crisis that we're facing. Panic, hoarding of toilet paper and other goods. Why do human beings react this way? It's something that we all face, fears and anxieties. But talk about this human response to this and how our response as Christians should be to difficult times like this.
I guess it's just that sense of greediness, which is down in the depths of human nature and by the grace of God has to be overcome as we know that we're to love our neighbors ourselves and be concerned about others. for the Lord's people, we have to be reminded of the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount that we're not to be fretful and worried about material things. That doesn't mean that we're relieved of our obligation. A man that doesn't provide for his own is worse than an infidel, so we have to go to work and do our very best, knowing that we serve unto the Lord, not with eye service as men pleases, but as unto the Lord. But doing that, we look to Him to supply our need. In the very same message as Jesus was speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, He both encouraged us to pray for our daily bread, but then also not to worry about it, and to remember that the same God who feeds the birds will feed us, and that we're more important than they are. So we can have confidence in Him and trust, not being full of anxiety and worry, and trusting that He will care for us in the midst of the most difficult times we may ever encounter.
I think one of the most difficult things that we probably all have experienced and felt during this time is just this sense of uncertainty of how long is this going to last? What are the long-term implications going to be? What are the implications for society, for the economy, for us personally? So in the midst of those things where there's feelings of uncertainty, explain to us the meaning of a doctrine, a biblical doctrine that you've emphasized very heavily in your ministry, because the scriptures do, the doctrine of the sovereignty of God, and not only what it means, but the value of it.
Absolutely. Well, it certainly means that God is on the throne. He is absolutely in control. There's no germ, there's no virus, there's nothing that is running wild and loose, but God has absolute control over it all. I preached a sermon recently at our church on the text found in Psalm 31, verse 15, "My times are in thy hand." And what a consoling truth that is, to understand we're not left to chance or fate or luck, but that God is ruling and reigning, and nobody can predict how long this thing will go. And so we just have to recognize that God is in control and pray that He will bless us to learn whatever lessons are for us. Certainly one big lesson we learn, that man is a lot weaker than he wants to admit. He's not in control of all of the plans and events that he would like to see transpire. We have to bow in God's sovereign pleasure to know that He's working His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say to Him, "What doest thou?" So what better place could we be than in His hand? And that's what the psalmist says, "My times are in thy hand."
One question that some people may have when they think about the sovereignty of God, does the sovereignty of God, does it portray this idea of God as this big architect or engineer who's impersonal up in heaven pushing buttons and guiding human history? Or is the sovereignty of God more of a picture of a loving Father who, yes, is allowing difficult things in our lives, but is the sovereignty of God a cold doctrine or something else?
No, it's a very warm, encouraging doctrine when we think of the various ways in which God is depicted in Scripture as being the one who cares for us. One of these we've just cited, that if we can say we're in God's hand, what better place could we be? And in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, he speaks of the fact that the eternal God is our refuge and that underneath are the everlasting arms. So no matter how low we may sink in our feelings or in our circumstances, we can't get so low, but what's still underneath are His everlasting arms. In Psalm 91, he speaks to the fact that we are covered with His feathers. Well, we know that literally God doesn't have feathers, but it's a language used to give us consolation. It says, "Under His wings shalt thou trust." And then in Psalm 103, he says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him." So all of these references in Scripture are there to convey the fact that God is vitally interested in us, He's concerned for us, He loves us, and it's to Him that we have to turn for our comfort and support in these trying times.
I think it's so encouraging that one of the most repeated commands, it seems, of the Lord Jesus to His disciples was, "Fear not," or "Do not be afraid." And the one who spoke those words was the one who Himself hung on the cross for the redemption of his people. So we know if he's telling us to not be afraid, that it's coming from a heart of great love and compassion for his people.
Absolutely. And that's a message that is found over and over again in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Fear not. Well, obviously, we're prone to fear. It has to be the reason that it's stated and restated so many times. And the encouraging thing about it, you know, I've sometimes illustrated like this. If a parent wakes up at night and hears a little child down the hall crying and crying, and the mother says, "Don't cry. Everything's going to be all right." Well, that doesn't help. But if she says, "Don't cry, I'm on the way to get you," that's a different story. And that's what the Lord tells us in Isaiah chapter 35. He says, "Fear not, because I'm on the way. I'm going to help you." So when we have that source of encouragement, we can cast off our fears.
What precious truth that is. Well, you mentioned this a moment ago about our human weakness we're learning through this crisis, but are there some other things that you think that we should be learning during this time?
Well, I think one of them is to be concerned about other people, and that gets back to this whole idea of I got to think of myself and hoard up for the future. It's a time to be thinking about others. It's a time to be remembering that you know, though some of our plans have been disrupted and there are going to be some financial losses and some things change permanently, no doubt. But for the child of God, no matter what the loss may be here, he has something glorious to look forward to. There is an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. So if we lost everything we had here materially, it's not that we're wiped out, because the best is still ahead. And over in Scripture, we're pointed to look to that glorious time when Jesus Christ comes back and for all of his people to be with him and triumphantly singing his praise in heaven forever. And that helps us in these difficult times to regain that outlook. You know, as I started preaching 2 years after the Second World War ended, and so the pain of those losses, where so many men had died in battle, was still very, very much in people's minds and hearts. And I found in those days that people responded more to the preaching about heaven. They were glad to hear about it. They were thankful to remember that there's coming a better day. And so coming through those painful years of the wartime, people wanted to hear about heaven. Well, it may be that in this time of crisis, people will be thinking about it even more. And it's a subject that we're admonished to think about. Like it says, he that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. It has a practical effect on our life as to how we live if we're anticipating that the better things are yet out ahead.
Well, it certainly does, these times of crisis, when things that we're used to just having, or things, a routine that we're used to just keeping, and it goes on day after day, it reminds us of what is uncertain, the things of this life, the things that are fading away. But as you've said, it reminds us of the value of those things that are most precious, and the Lord knows we need reminders of those things frequently.
Yes, sir.
You preached a message at your church, and it was broadcast, the first part of it was broadcast on March the 22nd on the Baptist Bible Hour. And in that, you were talking about the subject of the judgment of God. Would you talk about what you mentioned in that message here for us now?
Yeah, I don't think that can be ignored, because it's evident from Scripture that God has at various times sent judgment on people. And Noah's day, the whole race was destroyed except for the 8 souls in Noah's ark. And just one account after another where God sent judgment on idolaters, on those that rejected and violated his law. And so we have to know that if we look at the condition of the world today, would anybody be surprised that God would send judgment? When we see how many unborn babies are being killed, and see the general attitude that multitudes have, the same attitude that was expressed by Pharaoh when Moses went on God's behalf and said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" And that's the attitude of teeming multitudes today. So if God sent judgment, we wouldn't be surprised. At the same time, we have to be cautious and not ourselves try to make the determination of what God may be doing in that regard. Because when Jesus was on the earth, there were those who came to him and talking about the fact that the Tower of Siloam had fallen and killed 18 people as though they must be the most wicked people around. And Jesus said, "But I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." So we have to recognize that God does sometimes send judgments, but it's not our place individually to decide that this particular nation or this particular person is being singled out and judged by God. Just to be sensitive to know that God hates evil and that repentance is always in order.
I think that's a very good balance, and it's a scriptural balance, as you've just mentioned. Certainly, God has every reason to bring judgment, and we know that he will bring judgment eventually one day, as you've mentioned. But I was also thinking about the story of Jonah and the people of Nineveh, of how that God threatened a judgment through Jonah, but the people were led to repent. And I think we all probably have thought and prayed, "Lord, may you use this time to bring a nation to repentance and individuals to repentance who do not know you at this time. May you in your sovereign grace bring them to yourself." That would be wonderful to see such positive spiritual blessings happening through this, wouldn't it?
Amen. Sure would. And that certainly should be our prayer.
Now, these are unique times, as we've already mentioned, because churches are not currently meeting, but these are unique opportunities, and you are preaching through live stream at your church. We've already mentioned many other pastors are doing that. How is that experience for you to preach to an empty church house?
Well, it's not a new experience for me, because for almost 50 years, I did a live broadcast from our church Sunday nights at 10:30, and there were a few times I had an audience, but most of the time I didn't. And so it was not that unusual to have that experience. Even though I couldn't see the audience, I could visualize them, and was happy for the opportunity of preaching that way.
I just thought it's amazing how the Lord could use these strange times to further the gospel. Paul, in Philippians chapter 1, when he was in house arrest in Rome, told the Philippian church that, "I want you to know the things that have happened to me have fallen out rather for the furtherance of the gospel." So the Lord, as somebody has said, has a lot of tools in his toolbox, and he can use even unusual circumstances to further the message of the Lord Jesus, and we pray that he will do that for sure.
That's a good example of that, just to be reminded of what Paul's outlook was in those difficult times. And God makes even the wrath of man to praise him, and he can turn the darkest of situations around and bring something out to the good of his people and the glory of his name.
Talk also about the importance of us praying for our governmental leaders.
Well, yes, the scriptures are very explicit in that, and I think it's easy to let things slide and not really be diligent in our prayers for them, but we're admonished to pray for them and to pray that God will give them wisdom to know the decisions that need to be made, and that he will be honored and respected in it. It's reassuring to us to know that the heart of the king is in the Lord's hands, and he turns it as easily as he does water. So God can direct some who might not have regard for God personally, but nevertheless change their heart and move them in whatever direction is pleasing in his sight. But we are thankful for those who, in office, who do believe in God and are Christians and seeking to make the best decisions and to honor the Lord in all that they're doing.
Just a few days ago, during all this time, there was a sister in our church who stumbled across a copy of a booklet that you have written, and it was a comfort to her. 6 Things to Remember in a Time of Crisis. Would you comment on that booklet and then tell folks how they can order a copy?
Yes. The Lord has used that over the years at times when there have been tornadoes and various issues that people were floods, or people were driven from their homes and had to go to other places, and some saw fit to order a number of copies and distribute it. And so in many ways it seems the Lord has used that. You know, it's Christians know what they should think and how they should act in a time of crisis. But often when the crisis comes, it's a startling, upsetting thing, and they tend to forget for the moment. So we cover some basic points in this booklet just to talk about things that need to be remembered, that God is in control, and that our first and primary concern must be that however we react, whatever we do, whatever we say, should be to His honor and His glory. So a person would like to get a copy of that. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. The title of the book is The Six Things to Remember in the Time of Crisis.
And the 1-800 number for the office as well, 1-800-4734-BBH. And there are also resources, as you've mentioned, a number of resources, blogs and articles and different things are available on the ministry website at BaptistBibleHour.org. That's BaptistBibleHour.org. And we would encourage listeners to take advantage of those resources and to support the ministry of the Baptist Bible Hour with your generous donation and with your prayers. Thankful for how the Lord has used this ministry over the years, and even now it can be heard across the world through the internet, and there are stations in the Philippines and in Northern Ireland that air the broadcast on local stations there, and there's the podcast in which the daily broadcast can be heard. So we're thankful for the ways the Lord has used this ministry and encourage you to continue to pray for it and support it. Tell a friend, a family member about how that you've been blessed by the ministry. Another way that the word goes out through this ministry is the publication, the print publication, The Baptist Witness. So we would encourage you, if you're not a subscriber to that publication, to once again call 1-800-4734-BBH, and you can participate in receiving that booklet. Brother Bradley, before we close, if you give a word on how churches and church members can be loving each other and trying to stay connected as well as possible during this time. It's so strange for us because as a church, we gather and we shake hands and we hug and we talk and we get close to each other physically, and rightfully so. So this is strange that we have to stay away from each other. But talk about how that churches can, and church members can be ministering to each other in this time.
Well, I've been suggesting that each member decide I'm going to call at least one person every week, and in some cases it might be able to go way beyond that. When I put some information on our website that I thought would be helpful, I said, then I remembered that some of our older people don't have computers. They can't go to the website. So I said, well, those of you that are able to go there, and you know some of the older folks that don't have computers, call them up and read to them. It's on the website. So it's just any way that we can remain in contact and be aware of each other's burdens and prayer requests to be made, we certainly want to do that.
Friends, you've been listening to this Q&A edition of the Baptist Bible Hour. I'm Timothy Guess with Lasair Bradley Jr. Thank you for listening. May God give grace to our nation, to our churches during this time. Until next time, God bless you.
The Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217.